18th of November 2022. What does that mean? It is week three of Digital Dilemma. I am joined by Aldra De Beer this morning once again to talk about gaming and the effects thereof. Good morning, Aldra. Thank you so much for being back in studio this morning.
Good morning, Birgitta. Good morning, listeners.
I'm looking forward to discussing how we can look at the different types of personality traits that could make children and even adults susceptible to problematic gaming. What are those traits? Are they traits, or does it go for anyone that can get addicted to gaming?
Okay, I think it's very important to note that when we were growing up, we were never exposed to this, well, in like the digital media like it is today, and obviously the gaming. So for us, it's a fairly, how can I put this, a new ground that we're looking at. You know, obviously identifying or trying to identify certain personality traits. So obviously we have nothing to go by, so we basically go on what we see and how the children actually present every day. So to get back to the question, yes, it's an interesting question. Although there are certain personality traits that by themselves could make a person more susceptible to a gaming addiction or problematic gaming, it is important to note that these traits do not function in isolation. They normally function as a combination of traits, and I like to call it a kind of a lethal cocktail. So if you put those things together, it's almost like, you know, you're playing into the enemy's hands. So you can use those traits and manipulate those traits actually to get you addicted to gaming. And then even if a child does present with one or a bunch or even all of them, all of these traits or attributes, it does not mean that they will inevitably become a problematic gamer either. So it is also, it's more complicated than that. We need to understand that, you know, when we look at addiction or any kind of problematic habit, there is a root of a wounded identity that we have to go to. And this is very important, because the thing is, if we look at certain physical and emotional problems, yes, we do recognize those things. But even the Bible tells us, if you look at scripture, that we do not war against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, rulers of the present darkness, and spirits of wickedness. Spirits. So it's a spiritual war. So we need to look at, a wounded spirit will manifest in physical and emotional problems. And then people find a momentary, almost like a solace in gaming or addictions, but they will never get contentment. So they're looking for something to fill the void, but they never really get content. And there's a bit of a problem or a bit of a conundrum here, because the thing is, these traits that they actually present with could be made worse with gaming. Example, ADHD. So there were studies actually that says that people with ADHD find it beneficial for them to play games. So yes, in a certain perspective, it can actually calm down ADHD symptoms, because you're actually feeding a very overactive brain. But now, as we discussed previously last week, neurochemistry and everything, now we look at things like dopamine secretion in the brain. And what happens then is you get overstimulation. And then, obviously, with a compromised thalamus, the relay center of the brain, what happens then is you make ADHD symptoms worse. So if you're going to look at children and specific traits, you're going to look at children that are normally introverted and socially withdrawn. Okay? And then also, they have a difficulty with making friends. And then, obviously, as discussed now, ADHD, or they seem to be consistently busy. And then what we normally do is we put them on medication, and obviously treating the symptoms, not the cause. And then a very important one is children that are bullied. So again, they are feeling like a social outcast. Now they revert to gaming, because gaming gives them a kind of a sense of a purpose and a sense of belonging. So it's actually very good for them, in the way they perceive it, to actually play games, because they feel less bullied, because it creates kind of a neutral social ground for them. And then obviously another important trait is children suffering with anxiety. A lot of them do nowadays. History of abuse, rejection, social exclusion, social, sport, or academic underperformance. Again, same thing. They feel they can't perform on the same way that the peers can. So they need to create that neutral ground, and gaming can actually provide that neutral ground. Because when you play games, obviously the people don't know your history, they don't know what you look like, they don't know anything about you, and you're basically a kind of a new persona that you create for yourself. Then another very important one is obviously the need for social interaction, but a poor family support structure. Very important, because a child that does not feel secure will look for security in other things, and they might find security and, again, a sense of belonging in games. And then another one, problems with maternal and paternal relationships, especially with the father. This is a very important one, because when I get someone that comes to me with, and they say, my child's got a problem with gaming, my first question is, what is the child's relationship with the father? Because the father is the one that's supposed to impart identity. So if a child doesn't have a person to impart identity to them, they're going to look for it in something else. And not only with an absent father. A father can be physically present and emotionally absent. All right, a very important point also. And then single-parent households. And there, again, I have to acknowledge, we know it's a stressful environment. People do struggle a lot. But what happens here is they tend to seek out a surrogate parental figures. Problem again, when a child of 9, 10 years old are playing games, they are not necessarily playing games with other 9 or 10-year-olds. They are playing with 30, 40-year-old men. And the language and everything, when they get aggressive and everything, that's what they hear. Even the Bible tells us the son does what he sees the father do. So by example and what they hear, that is what they do. And now the parents can't understand, but where is this language coming from? But if you can see what they do in your absence, you'll see where it comes from. And then obviously parental, physical, and emotional abuse. Okay, so that's basically, in essence, when it comes to children and how they actually present with certain personality traits or attributes.
That is phenomenal. You know, you've just made us aware that it's complicated. It's not just a matter of it being one or the other. There's so much to this, and why it can become a problem, this gaming, because it fills a need. It, I'm going to say in inverted commas, heals a wound that people don't even know that they have, and they are just filling up that space. You mentioned ADHD, that distraction, and last week we spoke about this fact that you can multitask, and we're not supposed to be multitasking at a young age. We need to be focusing on one thing, especially as it is seen in the classroom. You focus on a task, get that done, move on to the next task. How do we identify problematic gaming in a child, Aldred?
Okay, so another very interesting question. The World Health Organization actually listed the digital gaming or video gaming disorder in the International Classification of Disorders in May this year. So what does this mean? This actually means that the world is starting to recognize that gaming is a problem. There need to be some form of intervention for it. And the problem is, it's not yet recognized by the psychiatric classifications yet, because, in my opinion, I think that from a psychological and psychiatric perspective, they haven't really found a good solution of how to treat this. Because, like I said, it stems from a spiritual problem, not an emotional problem. So the classification of the ICD-11 says that gaming disorder is a pattern of gaming behavior characterized by impaired control over gaming. So you cannot control gaming. Increasing priority given to gaming over other activities to the extent that gaming takes precedence over other interests and daily activities. So it's completely being enveloped into a world of gaming. So this is a step in the right direction. And the good thing is now we're hoping that medical aides will start coming on board and obviously see this. Okay, we have a problem. This is a big problem. And this is what we need to be doing, is there is a problem, like depression is a problem, or, you know, all these emotional dysfunctions are a problem. We know they are a problem. But can depression come as a symptom of gaming? Yes, it can. So we need to look at this a little bit further. So how do we identify problematic gaming? So it is a question with a fairly simple answer, actually, and is applicable for children and adults alike. And this is the answer. If it causes a problem, it is a problem. Very, very, very simple. So if it impairs behavior, psychological, physical, relational, and academic in a child, or work as an adult, the function and performance, it is a problem. Like I said, if you're going to prioritize other things, then it's a problem. If it interferes with your relationships, it is a problem. If you're struggling with behavioral problems, aggression, everything, it is becoming a problem. So, although gaming might present with more severe adverse physical, behavioral, and emotional changes in the brain due to its extremely addictive nature, it is extremely important to point out that these changes are identical across the board, irrespective of the digital activity that you are doing. So to put this in another way, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you play games. It doesn't matter if you're on Facebook all day. It's about screen time. So screen time is screen time, regardless of what you're doing. And the effects are similar. So this is time dependent, not activity dependent. So if you're spending a lot of time, it doesn't matter what kind of digital activity, you're going to have very similar problems. So the indicators that we're going to look at here are declining interest in school performance. They are really just not interested in academics at all. And here we're going to look at the short-term benefits of the built-in reward system. For example, if you let a child play games, the built-in reward system will give them instantaneous results. And they're going to see, well, I'm putting in the effort, I'm seeing results, and it feeds the positive feedback reward mechanism. But if you compare that to a school environment, the teacher will tell you, if you're going to do your homework and if you're going to study at the end of the year, your results are going to be better. A child is not interested in that. They want results now. And we all do, you know. We're in a kind of a society where we want results right now. I'm not going to wait for my food. I want it right now. I'm not going to cook it. I want it right now. I want information. I want it right now. Again, same thing. Second behavioral indicator we're going to look at here is a loss of interest in any other activity. They are really not interested in anything else. They used to play cricket or rugby and just started gaming, and they just lost complete interest. They are rebellious and aggressive. And this is made worse when you take the games away. Then you're really going to see aggressiveness in them. And like I explained last week, the reason for this is a problem with the inhibition control of the prefrontal cortex that is affected by game time. Okay? They are irritable and they are easily triggered. You're going to tell them a smaller thing and they're going to go off. And this doesn't really only just apply to children, adults. You're going to tell your husband, listen, honey, you've been playing games for too long. And what kind of answer? Yes, honey, I know I'm wrong. That's not what you're going to hear at all. All right? Episodes of excessive anger and rage. Okay? And then defiance of authoritarian figures like ODD, oppositional defiance disorder. Okay? Trouble sleeping. Now, with trouble sleeping or insomnia, it's very interesting. We have what they call a built-in sleep-wake cycle. They call it the circadian rhythm. And this is regulated by melatonin. And like I explained last week, blue light emission results in a decrease in melatonin. It disrupts the sleep-wake cycle, disrupts the circadian rhythm. And this is another indicator. And then they do not even tend to see that gaming is a real problem. if I've done this many times, you ask them, you sit there with the parents and the child and you ask them, okay, Johnny, out of 10, how bad do you think your gaming problem is? Now it's about a 2 out of 3. You ask the parents, 8 or 9. So they're really kind of completely in deception of how bad it is. If we look at psychological indicators, you look at mood shifts, right? Johnny's happy, all of a sudden he's depressed, up and down, up and down. Or they are cranky, like cranky usually, but when they play games, they feel more relaxed. Now, that is a major indicator to you, because the thing is, their behavior is regulated by gaming. It soothes them. That should tell you, okay, there's a problem here. Because they cannot be dependent on gaming to regulate behavior. Then you have a real problem. Problems with body image, dysmorphia. That's a really, really big problem as well. Depression, like I explained to you. Is depression an indicator, or is depression causing gaming addiction, or is gaming addiction causing depression? Vice versa. A complete preoccupation with video games. And this will include active and passive gaming. Active gaming is when they actually play the game. Passive gaming is when they tend to look at YouTube videos on how they can actually improve their performance. So if you include these two, yes, a child might tell you, okay, now my game time is about 3 hours per day, but I watch YouTube videos for another 3 hours. Then you have 6 hours game time, not 3 hours. Anxiety is another indicator. ADHD, again, they are unable to process emotions, or they are emotionally numb. Now, this condition is called anhedonia. So anhedonia, basically, like I explained to you last week about the dopamine, when your brain gets completely saturated with dopamine, you get to a condition they call anhedonia. So you cannot experience anything joyful anymore. Nothing is nice. There's no excitement, nothing at all. They have a problem with interpreting emotional nonverbal cues. And then obviously, if you're looking at academic indicators, academics, mathematical marks drops excessively, dyscalculia, problems with reading, dyslexia, problems with language and comprehension. And here the ADHD and anxiety is a big contributor. Task sequencing problem, they don't understand what follows on another task. Problems with focus and concentration on a specific task, and they are easily distractible. And an unwillingness to complete a task or persist in that task, and they tend to quit task very quickly. This is also another indicator. And then lastly, relational signs. So isolation is a big one, right? If you see Johnny is isolating himself, that is a big, big, big indicator right there. Now, you initially start playing games because you have a difficulty with social interaction, which we understand. But now, as you play games, you isolate yourself more. So you're making the isolation aspect worse by trying to fix it. So that's why I always say you're trying to escape into bondage, because when you go down this road, it's a very, very difficult road to come out of. And then lastly, conflict with others. This could be with family and peers. So Johnny is very aggressive in class. He bullies, you know, he hits other children, everything, or he's very disruptive in the class atmosphere. So these are really good indicators that you can actually look at to try and identify a potential problem with gaming.
Alder De Beer, wow, this is amazing. If you did not get all of those different scenarios, you can also go to Impact Radio to the website and you go have a look under the podcast. You can catch all of this whole interview a little bit later. It will be uploaded so you can get the full interview. Once again, Alder, we really appreciate your time this morning and we look forward to speaking to you next week as we continue with Digital Dilemma.